to the Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come on FanDuel. I am your host, Sean Kane, and I'm happy to be back, man. Monday, we are in full swing here. For MLB DFS. Had a nice weekend, though. You know, I have to be honest with you guys. I have not been playing on the weekend. Getting away from DFS, clearing the head, trying to spend quality time with the fam. You know, it's funny. When you get used to breaking down the slates so completely, you know, I'll, you know, every once in a while I'll log into my FanDuel app real quick and see, you know, who's playing and try to see if I can throw together a lineup without really looking at anything and like doing any research. And I can't do it anymore. You know, there's without having the information that you need to have on a daily basis to build good lineups, I just have decided it's not worth it. So you really got to sit down and do the research and dive in. Or not. So I've been taking the weekends off, you know, playing a little golf, getting out there, getting my swing back. Well, it's not back. Let's just be clear about that. It's not back. So anyhow, regardless of my golf game and weekend habits, we got a lot of games here on Monday. We got some really good ones too. I think if I'm counting 9 game slate, all on the main slate here. A couple really nice pitching options, and some high totals too. 10.5 throughout. So this should be a really, really good spot to this should be a really good spot to get after on a Monday. So let's go ahead and let's take a look at the games that we got on tonight's. All right, so starts out in PNC Park. 9 runs projected as the Rockies move over to Pittsburgh for another road series here. Freeland versus Jameson Taillon. Taillon, I believe this is his first start since coming back from the DL I forgot about this. I wanted to say groin injury, but remember this. Jameson Taillon got diagnosed with testicular cancer. God, man, that's crazy. So he's probably, you know, undergone some treatments or whatever the case may be, and now he's back in the rotation. That's fucking awesome. That's awesome, dude. Give it up for Jameson Taillon. That is cool that he's, you know, going to be able to fight cancer and pitch at the same time. That's impressive, and do it publicly too. Good for him. Needless to say, I mean, he's actually favored in this situation against Kyle Freeland. Freeland's problem has really been the home run ball. He gives it up. And his K rate is just not there right now. Do I want to stack the Pirates righties? Not necessarily. If I do, it's probably McCutcheon, just because that's all he hits is righties, lefties. So, you know, maybe I have some interest in some Josh Harrison and Andrew McCutcheon, but I don't know. The Pirates, you know, in PNC, it's not always a great, not always my favorite stack. There's not a ton of power in that team. Atlanta, Washington, 9 runs projected as the Braves head out to Nationals ballpark. Nice day in Washington, D.C., 88 degrees, 10 mile an hour winds blowing just out to right center field. And Mike Foltynewicz going up against Steven Strasburg. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, Steven Strasburg is the heaviest favorite on the slate at -230 here. So Strauss, obviously in a really good spot, and you compare him to some of the other stud pitchers, he's definitely got the best combination of like stuff and matchup, and he's at home. You add all that kind of stuff up, not to mention his history against the Braves is excellent this season. It's a really good spot for Strasburg, obviously. Really, really, really good. And you know, if Foltynewicz has a problem, it's lefties. And And, you know, he's pitched well in his last couple of starts, to be honest with you. He's had a couple really nice ones recently. Yeah, I mean, against Philly and Cincinnati. But remember, those are right-hand heavy teams, and the Nationals are the opposite of that. And his start against one start against Washington, he only had 28 fantasy points. So, you know, Fulton Nevich, yes. Is he going to have, you know, some great games here and there? He certainly is. He certainly is. But, you know, against the Nats, this might be a tough spot to start him. I will say, in his last start against the Nats, he just didn't get the Ks. He lasted, and he didn't get dinged, but he just didn't get the Ks. So he may be worth looking at in this spot, but I don't know. Cubs going out to New York for the Mets. 13-mile-per-hour winds, 92 degrees as the wind goes straight out to right field. Wow. Those are some of the better weather conditions on the slate. Well, not completely. I guess if you get to the Red Sox game, it's going to be even better just because it's a smaller ballpark. But this is an interesting game here for sure. John Lackey versus Jake DeGrom. And, you know, DeGrom is a slight favorite here in this one, and he certainly has struggled over his last two starts. And it's really, I started to dive deep into, you know, the Mets beats reporters and stuff like that, try to figure out what's going on with DeGrom. And, you know, looking at the data, it's pretty clear what's happening with him. And we'll talk about it in the pitcher breakdown. But it could be an interesting spot for him against the Cubs, who are on the road here and have not been particularly good against righties. But I don't know. I don't know. It's a tough, you know, he's gotten shelled by Milwaukee and Texas. You know, and those teams, I think, you know, while they do certainly have some power, they're not, you know, extraordinary. This isn't the Yankees, the Astros, or anything like that. So I don't know. And the Mets against Lackey, yeah. The lefties are in play. For sure the lefties are in play. Of course they are, because Lackey has not been extraordinary, and the Mets lefties have been. Discipline, taking walks, getting hits. You know, the power has been kind of so-so recently, but they have been solid, and Yoenis Cespedes back in the lineup too. So certainly an interesting spot to look at the Mets here. Vegas likes them for 4.5 runs. Phillies, Red Sox, 10.5 runs here in Fenway Park. 91 degrees, like I said, and the wind blowing out to right field. Guys, it's time to go after these left-handers in Boston, because it is Jared Eichhoff versus Rick Porcello. Now, it's an interesting spot for Porcello. Vegas likes him, but they got the Phillies for 4 runs here. They got the Red Sox, though, as minus 205 favorites, Porcello is. And the reason is that Eichhoff gets shelled by lefties. And so it's pretty straightforward what I want to do here. It's just the Red Sox lefties. And, you know, I have some interest in Porcello. I'm not a Porcello guy. Based on what you've seen from the Phillies against right-handers recently, it's really not hard to get around this lineup. It really is not hard to get around this lineup. I mean, we just saw, you know, a guy like Mike Fulton Nevich went out and put up, you know, 50 fantasy points on the Phillies in, you know, 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago in his last start. 43 fantasy points. And he went, how many walks? He gave up 4 hits, 2 walks, and he had 4 Ks through 7 innings pitched, got the win and the quality start. So, you know, and I don't believe he ever gave up a run. He didn't give up a dinger. Yeah, I don't think he did. He didn't give up a single run. Anyway, so, you know, I mean, you see a guy like Fulton Nevich smoke them. You know, Porcello has strikeout stuff. Has he struggled? Absolutely. Has he been tilting and giving up way too much hard contact? Yeah. Definitely a spot that we can perhaps look back to Porcello here. All right, Mariners at the Twins, 10.5 runs projected here. The issue is weather. We've got bad weather to start at 7 o'clock. Weather gets worse as it goes along into the ballgame. 30% chance of rain, 40-50% chance of rain as you get into the 10 p.m. hour. So hopefully this starts to get better rather than worse, but we'll see. Because it's Giovanni Gallardo versus Adalberto Mejia. We saw this game. or we saw these teams face these pitchers, and they both got hit. Dingers were allowed by both pitchers. Runs were allowed by both pitchers. So certainly a game that we have some grout interest in, for sure. Rangers-Astros, 8.5 runs projected here as Yu Darvish goes up against Joe Musgrove. Musgrove is a slight favorite in this one, which is interesting. Darvish, you know, had a nice start last time out in his Mets, that Mets game, but just gave up those three runs to Jay Bruce, basically. And, you know, Joe Musgrove, kind of a tale of two pitchers. You know, he's had some really nice starts and then some rough ones too. So certainly it should be an interesting game. Vegas, I think this line is just going to continue to kind of stay put and float between these two guys as close to a pick 'em. 10 runs projected in Chicago as we have 89 degrees and the wind blowing out to left. A really nice situation for the righty bats here. A really nice situation for the White Sox going up against Wade Miley. And interesting enough, though, Baltimore is favored because they have Mike Pelfrey. Now, I'm not going to be the first one to tell you that stacking against Mike Pelfrey is really, really, really tilting. Now, this could be the game where he regresses, but I don't know that I'm going to stack the Baltimore bats against him. In this situation, the White Sox are implied for almost 5 total runs against Miley, who does get hit by righties. I like the White Sox here. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I prefer the White Sox here. Miley has given up more damage than Pelfrey has. And White Sox bullpen is very good. You add to that. So, you know, not that interested in the Orioles bats here. Yankees Angels, 8.5 runs projected here as Tanaka goes out to LA and starts against Alex Meyer. Meyer had a really nice start in Detroit, and the kid has, some elite breaking stuff and just absolutely was K-ing. He just K's people. He's got like a 30% strikeout rate in a number of his games this year. The issue is that to go with that possibly elevated strikeout rate, which I think on average this season is 26%, he has a 15% walk rate. You put that up against the Yankees, you know, you make some early mistakes, you start walking batters that could get ugly in a hurry. And that has happened to Meyer in a few starts. So he's interesting from a strikeout perspective, but not much more than that. Cincinnati, San Diego, 8.5 runs projected here in Petco Park. Obviously, this is a great pitcher's park. And that total is reflected because you've got Bronson Arroyo versus Luis Perdomo. Now, normally Arroyo gets, the other team is going to get implied for well over 4.5 runs or somewhere in there. Right now, Padres only implied for 4.3 runs in this one. Yes, you need some San Diego exposure against Arroyo. You always do. The issue is the wind's blowing in and it's 67 degrees. You compare that to the rest of the spots on this slate, that's terrible weather. You know, the Northeast right now is just hot and the wind is blowing straight out. You tell me you could get 3 games at 90 degrees with the wind blowing out to right field in Nationals Park, Citi Field, and Fenway, the best of those parks, versus 67 degrees with the wind blowing in on the West Coast. Yeah, I love the ownership leverage of some West Coast ownership, but and I love stacking against Arroyo, but I just don't know how much exposure I need to this game when I compare the really, really ideal weather conditions on the East Coast. All right, so that's it. Like I said, 9 games. Let's jump into the player breakdown and figure out who we love. Who do you love? Okay, so when we start here with the pitching, you know, like I mentioned this is pretty straightforward, guys. I mean, it's Scherzer, or not Scherzer, it's Strauss. Sorry about that. Scherzer, it's a pitcher that's not even on the slate. Strauss is 11-4. Okay, he's at home. He's got the best stuff and the best matchup. Okay, now, I mean, I'm not kidding when I say he has the best Sierra and exit on the slate. But he also has, you know, the best K rate. He has a 27% K rate, 11% swinging strike rate, 47% ground ball rate. He's only allowed 27% hard contact with an XFIP and a Sierra at 3.2 and 3.4. He's been absolutely excellent. Atlanta, you add to that, one of the lowest on the slate in Team ISO, bottom three in Team ISO and Team WOBA. They're bottom two in Team ISO on the slate. And Strauss has faced them twice this year. Once with Freddie Freeman, once without Freddie Freeman. He had 60 points in the first start and 55 in the second. Double-digit Ks in both, 10 in one and 11 in the other. I mean, it just, what do you want to do? You can pay for him, take your 50 points, and then figure out the rest of it. Because it's not one of those slates where you have an undeniably good spot for, you know, a Yankees team that's all priced at 4K. So you don't have to pay for bet. You don't have Coors Field. You know, you don't have the Cubs at home against Bronson Arroyo with the wind blowing out. You know, you don't have to do this bats thing. So I think Strasburg, I mean, his ownership in cash should be well over 60%, as it should be. I think you jump in that pool and you figure out a way to differentiate on your bats. You know, there's just a lot of pitchers on this slate that you could look at and you could say, you could make an argument for, but there are few that have the safety and security in the floor of Strauss. You combine that with the fact that he could possibly get that 10-point boost for the quality start in the win. I it's Strasburg, and then, you know, I wouldn't even say, I'd say he's option one, two, and three, and then options four and five are below that. I want to be clear about this. Like, there's going to be a game when Jacob DeGrom gets back on track, and you want to be on the right side of that, ahead of it rather than behind it. DeGrom has admitted in his last three starts he's really struggled with his mechanics. Now, in that Pittsburgh start, he knew he could feel it coming. He said he was opening his chest and he wasn't finishing his pitches. And then he wasn't getting away with it in the Milwaukee game. He wasn't hitting his spots. And in the Texas game, he knew his balls weren't breaking. And you look at the pitch effects data, and it's just very, very, very clear. It's some of his worst. He's been throwing some of his worst pitches all year long. And the results there have been really rough. Tons and tons of hard contact, tons and tons of earned runs for Jake DeGrom. But this could be the start where he gets, you know, that bite back on the ball. The thing that has been happening, I guess, is a lot of his pitches have just been flat. The breaking balls have been really flat. His changeup has just been lackluster. His slider is not moving. And his fastball just isn't locating the way that he wants it to, in certain spots. So, you know, all of these qualities, according to PitchFX, are way below normal. However, the Chicago Cubs are bottom third in the league in recent production against right-handed pitchers in WRC+ in the last 14 days. They currently have a 23% strikeout rate against righties and only a BABIP of 250. That's not great. We just saw them get owned by the Colorado Rockies at home. And they're getting a park downgrade traveling to Citi Field. Now they're getting a great weather situation and a guy who allows 40% hard contact. That said, the guys that you have to worry about are pretty straightforward. It's basically Schwarber, Rizzo, and Bryant. Those are the guys who are hitting right-handed pitching right now. Now, those are pretty serious names as far as guys who can hit right-handed pitching. But the question that you have to ask yourself is this the start where, you know, am I going to take DeGrom and presume that he bounces back here? Or am I going to take DeGrom and, or am I going to wait on DeGrom and wait till he has another quality start, a good outing? He seems to correct his mechanics and we go from there. Okay, I think the only thing that you can take some faith in is, you know, Schwarber profiles really well. He smashes the changeup. He smashes the fastball. You know, I think the nice thing is that Chris Bryant can't hit the curve, but he does hit the change, and he does hit the fastball. And Rizzo's ISO is just down. I mean, he's down below 200 this year. His WOBA is at 320. He's taking a lot of walks. But Anthony Rizzo just really isn't the same terrifying, scary Anthony Rizzo that we're really used to. And he doesn't hit the slider. You know, neither does Schwarber. Schwarber doesn't really hit the slider either. Schwarber can't touch a slider. So if DeGrom gets the slider back and it's biting, you know, and he can control that changeup, the changeup is where you worry, because the guys are going to hit the changeup. You know, Schwarber, Bryant, and Rizzo can all hit the changeup. And if he can't get the changeup to move, I mean, if he can't get the slider, it's the same movement on the same pitch, right? If the slider and the changeup aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, which they haven't been in the last two starts, then he's going to get shelled. It's going to be that simple. It's going to be that easy. Immediately, if people are swinging, we're going to know immediately if people are swinging at the slider and the changeup because they're back, they're biting, he's got the right rotation on them, then we're going to know. If he's not and he's leaving them up in the zone like he was in Texas, he's going to get shelled. It's that simple. It's the slider and the changeup for him. So we'll see. We'll see what DeGrom brings. I think there is some merit in starting him just for ownership leverage and differentiation and trying to be ahead of the curve. You get a guy who's 10K upside who's only $9,700. The other guy that has some interest in that I think is risky, and I'm going to be clear about this, this is a risky start, is Ricky Porcello. He's got Philadelphia, and in the last 2 weeks, the Philadelphia Phillies have a 30% strikeout rate and a 5% walk rate to right-handed pitching. That's the worst on the slate. Absolutely bottom of the barrel, the worst. They're also the worst in team WRC plus on the slate. Porcello's been getting barreled up and allowed 42% hard contact this season. So he certainly has regressed from his Cy Young year. His fastball and his splitter are just getting hit. They're getting hit, and they're getting hit loudly. That said, he's going to get a team that swings at pretty much everything. And he owns a 21% strikeout rate and 11% swinging strike rate. Now, earlier this year, before his last couple starts, which were really rough, we had really, really depressed K rate. He was seeing a strikeout rate closer to 30%. And we were seeing Rick Porcello with a strikeout rate that was well above league average, somewhere in the 23, 24, 25% range. I think the issue that you're worried about is the weather in Fenway and the hard contact that he allows in that small ballpark. But the Phils aren't hitting anyone, okay? And if he can get around Odubel Herrera, Michael Saunders, and Aaron Althier, that's pretty much it. Then that's okay. Then he should be fine. You add to that the Red Sox on the opposite side are going to see Jared Eichhoff, who's just been getting smashed by left-handers. And you've got the win there for the home park, you know, the home team in Fenway. I think that Porcello could be in a good bounce back spot. Now I'm not starting Porcello in a lot of matchups, but I think this is an interesting one to possibly look at him in. Now I'm going to really throw a dart here, and I'm going to say a name that a lot of people probably will actually stack against. But I think this is an interesting matchup for him, and it's Mike Pelfrey. Yeah, I said it. I actually think that Mike Pelfrey is in an interesting spot here. Okay? And here's why. Baltimore, currently 26th in the league in the last 2 weeks in WRC plus against right-handed pitching. They are striking out at a 23% rate, only walking at a 6% rate. They are batting .239 against righties. Mike Pelfrey is top three in the slate in the following categories: ground ball rate, batted ball distance, and BABIP. He's got a .250 BABIP. He's got a batted ball distance under 200 feet. And he's got a 45 plus percent ground ball rate. He doesn't get Ks. We know that. We know that about Mike Pelfrey. And in fact, he walks too many guys. but he is a pitcher who can easily go 5 to 6 innings, get a number of ground balls, get a number, limit the damage. You know, he'll give up a base runner and then get a double play. I just think that the Orioles right now are a team to target. They're on the road, and Mike Pelfrey is only 5,800. So if you desperately, desperately want every single bat that you can afford, and you want to hit home run hitters all the way through from 1 through 8 in your lineup, I think that Mike Pelfrey could be an interesting spot. You get 30 points out of him. You know, we're looking at maybe 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 5 strikeouts. That's a pretty good start for a guy who's 5,800. I don't know if he's going to get the win or not, but I do like the Chicago bats here as well against Miley. So I think this is a really interesting spot for us to look at Mike Pelfrey. It's just kind of, you know, having stacked against him and consistently reading the data on Pelfrey, he's a kind of pitcher that is able to limit damage. And you look at the pitch profile, his secondary pitch, I believe, hold on 1 second, let me double check this. Pelfrey is primarily a sinker thrower, okay? And we're looking at the bats that we worry about. Seth Smith in the leadoff position, the lefty, who actually hits righties pretty well. Absolutely nothing against the sinker. Can't do it. John Shope, one of their barrel leaders. Nothing against the sinker. Can't hit it. Adam Jones. We know historically Adam Jones can hit right-handed pitching. Nothing against the sinker. Can't hit it. Now, he can hit the slider, but he can't hit the splitter either. Trumbo. He can hit the slider, and he can hit the sinker okay, but he can't hit the splitter whatsoever. So, Chris Davis, you know, I mean, he can hit the slider, but he's below average against the sinker. So, it's a really interesting spot. 56% ground ball rate to right-handed bats. 56% ground ball rate. That's a really, really, really elite number. Only 20% fly balls allowed to right-handed bats. 29% allowed to left-handed bats. Those are really good numbers. Those are really good numbers to have, especially in this kind of a weather condition. And in considering the way that the Orioles have been playing lately, they're really bad. This is a team to target. They're swinging at everything. They're not creating a lot of offense. You know, and the fact that Manny Machado is out of that lineup, it just really makes them a team to target with pitching. And Mike Pelfrey is $5,800. I think it's interesting. If you really, really want to be risky, I think you could get 25 to 35 points out of Mike Pelfrey. So think about that. 25 to 35 points out of Mike Pelfrey. Is that worth it? All right. Let's talk about the sticks here. We have a number of different interesting mid-tier ranges. I had a hard time finding a high-profile, like, stud offense that I think is going to be worth investing in. And I guess there's a lot of, based on price, I could say I'm interested in a lot of certain individually expensive bats. I don't know how much interest I have in the Yankees. They are certainly the most high-priced team offense on the slate. And I don't mind them against Mayer. And in fact, I think you could easily look at getting some exposure to the lefties there. You know, if anybody's going to hit Mayer, it's going to be the lefties. So you would look at Brett Gardner and Aaron Hicks, who's been in there for Ellsbury, you know, to start, and possibly Didi, even though Didi kind of has reverse splits. So that's interesting to me. You know, you need somebody who can hit the breaking ball in the Yankees offense. So take a look at the pitch data there. But I think the best offense, and they're not really priced like a stud offense, but they're going to be chalky. And I think that's important to note. It's Boston against Dykoff. Now, Boston is a tough team to stack because they just haven't shown any power. There's not hitting the ball out of the park. The ISO numbers for everybody except for Mitch Moreland are pretty atrocious. In fact, So there's just really not a lot of home run upside in this offense, but they're implied for the highest run total I've seen in a while outside of Coors Field, and that's 6.2 runs. You just can't ignore that. Eichhoff, he's been getting a little unlucky. Some of his advanced statistics say he's a better pitcher than what his results are, but the truth is he gives up runs, and that's because he gives up too many fly balls and line drives. He's allowed a 43% fly ball rate to left-handed bats and only 34% ground ball. A negative fly ball to ground ball ratio in Fenway Park is a bad, bad thing with the wind blowing out and it's 90 degrees there tonight. That's not going to work. So I think you start with the lefties, and that's basically the 4-5-6, Moreland, Benintendi, and Jackie Bradley. Benintendi has not shown a lot of power recently. He's certainly not exactly a thrilling piece of your lineup. Mitch Moreland, though, I believe is a must-have. He's got a team-high ISO at 226 with a 368 wOBA against left-handed pitching or right-handed pitching. Not to mention, he's in a way above average curveball hitter, and that is Eichhoff's secondary pitch that he throws 30% of the time. Moreland smashes curveballs. So I think Mitch Moreland is a must-have. In fact, he's my favorite first baseman of the night. Jackie Bradley, he's struggled, but I think he's the second one. He had 5 hits in this weekend series against Detroit, including a dinger, 2 multi-hit games. And he's been getting on base and scoring. People are scoring him when he gets in. So we like to see that as part of the offense there. I think Jackie Bradley Jr. is interesting in this spot as well. Not to mention, Bradley profiles very well against the slider. That's the third pitch for Eichhoff. His fastball, curveball, slider. So I don't mind Jackie Bradley. I think that he'll probably get lower ownership than a guy like Mookie Betts. But Betts doesn't hit the breaking stuff. And we know he's not nearly as good against righties as he is against lefties. I'm not interested in Mookie Betts at 4,325% ownership. I'm not interested in it. I know he's batting leadoff. I know he's Mookie Betts. I just will take the savings and I'll spend my money somewhere else. For $4,000 or almost $4,000, I'd much rather have a player like Miguel Sano tonight or Michael Conforto, someone like that. It's just not where I'm going to be spending my money. So I'm not that interested in him. Bogarts, I think you can make an argument for Xander Bogarts for sure. He's been an OBP machine, and you know he can't hit the curve very well, but he has been very solid against the slider and the fastball and the change. You know, he's not going to see a lot of the change, but he's been solid against those other pitches, you know, specifically the fastball. And he can hit a fastball, get on base. We know that. You know, he's then got that chain of lefties right behind him because he's in that 3-hole. So he's got, you know, Moreland, Benintendi, and Bradley behind him. So his chances of getting, you know, knocked in there are very solid. So I like that spot for Bogarts a little bit. So that's where I'm at with the Boston offense. It's Moreland is by far my favorite. I like Benintendi just because of the price. He's only 2,800. I think Jackie Bradley is an excellent play because I think he will go lower owned than some of the big name players in Boston. And then I would add possibly as a fourth bat, I would add Xander Bogarts, but you know, $3,500 for shortstop is always a lot to pay. And if you're paying for Scherzer, you may not have that. All right, moving on to the Grout plus situation and offense that you can probably afford. I got to talk about obviously the Padres here against Bronson Arroyo. You know, you don't need a ton of hard-hitting analysis to know that we're always stacking against Bronson Arroyo, one of the worst barrel rates on the slate at 6.7%. Arroyo gives up home runs to everybody. He's given up a home run pretty much in every game. So you have to have some San Diego exposure throughout your lineups tonight. A 400 wOBA allowed to left-handers and a 383 wOBA allowed to right-handed bats on the season. That's brutal. It's pretty basic. The core guys are probably Will Myers and Hunter Renfro. Maybe Yenjirvis Solarte, but he really lacks the power upside that you want. But he does get on base. He's an RBI guy. I don't know. He's kind of a lot to pay for a power position at third. I have less interest in Solarte. Renfro, Will Myers will probably be the most popular one, but Renfro is also very interesting. I think in a situation like this, you probably want to try to find some spots where guys who have power upside guys who are power upside that can take advantage of this excellent matchup who might get lower owned. I think that there's a couple guys that are interesting to me in that bucket. One is Corey Spangenberg. Now, Spangenberg has really rough numbers on the season. There's two things going for him. Yesterday, he was locked in. He hit two homers. Very rare, outlier-type performance. But, you know, this could be a sign that, you know, he's seeing the ball a little bit better. He's making better contact, whatever the case may be. He's 2,300. He's second base. And he profiles well against the kind of junk pitches that Arroyo throws. Okay? I think if you want to add to that, you could also look at the catcher, Austin Hedges. He's got legit power. He's got actually some of the best power on that team. 256 ISO for Hedges. So I think I'm going to have a lot of Hedges at 2,400 throughout my lineups. And I like Hedges quite a bit. The kid had a run earlier in the season where he was hitting home runs basically back-to-back for a week. So you like this spot. You know he can leave the yard. And he can leave the yard in San Diego because he's got really legit power. I think the other one that I'm really interesting is Perella, the rookie. $2,500 at second base. And this kid has been up for six games in June. Okay? Four multi-hit games since he got called up. Four. He's really hot. He's very talented. The numbers are, you know, skewed, obviously, because it's an extremely small sample size. But he is incredibly impressive right now. He had a 40-point fantasy game just in this past week. So, you know, Perella at 2,500, he is somebody that I'm going to have a lot of exposure to. And I wouldn't be surprised if the industry is hot to this kid. It's hard to ignore the numbers. He pops in a lot of ways. So, you know, I don't think you're going to have a ton of leverage there. But Perella and Hedges, I think, are two of my favorite because they're this combination of, you know, power upside with salary savings. So I like that. The other game that I'm really interested in from a Vegas by the way, the Cincinnati bats are sneaky in this spot as well. You dive into the research there. I think that Schebler and even Scooter, interestingly enough, problem is you don't have the ballpark advantage for Cincinnati. You don't have the ballpark advantage, but God, that team has so much power. So much power. Their ISO numbers are unbelievable. If I remember, let me see that their ISO. Their team ISO is like above 200. Team ISO, Cincinnati, they are third in team ISO on the slate they're fourth in team ISO on the slate behind the Nationals, Astros, and Yankees. Nationals have a team ISO of 198, 196 for the Astros, 194 for the Yankees, and 191 for the Cincinnati Reds. So they're certainly a team that's worth targeting. Possibly, you know, Luis Perdomo currently allowing a 368 wOBA to left-handed bats and a 343 wOBA to right-handed bats. Now, we know Perdomo is a ground ball guy, and he certainly can limit the damage. But there have been a couple offenses in recent memory that have really, really, really gotten to him, namely Arizona, and those Arizona lefties really can get to him, and they've dinged him up pretty good, as well as Washington. So I think that the lefties are in play, you know, maybe just a Joey Votto, Scotty Schebler, Scooter Gennett thing here against Perdomo. The problem is again, like I said, whether you compare those lefties, their cost to the Nationals, for example, the Nats lefties. Nationals lefties are expensive, but they have a great ballpark situation, and they're going up against a pitcher who gets, Folty, who gets hit by lefties. He's been good. The reason that I'm possibly avoiding them is that he's been much better in his last two starts, and I've been impressed. And in fact, the fact that he was able to get around the Mets, I believe, in his last start. Let me see if he did get around the Mets last start. Sorry, this is a little bit of a tangent here. If he did get around that, was it the Mets that he... No, it wasn't the Mets. Sorry, it was Philadelphia. He got around Cincinnati. There's some power lefties there. Folty pitched a gem against Cincinnati, and there's power lefties in that line. We just talked about the power lefties, the lefties that you want in the Cincinnati lineup. So, you know, is Washington a better team as far as lefties go, yes, this is probably harder to get around Bryce Harper than it is to get around Scott Schebler. Certainly is. Okay, so Folty could get shelled here, but I think that that's the comparison that I'm making is the weather situation is in Washington much better than the weather situation in San Diego. So how much do I want, these high price Cincinnati bats on the road? I don't know. I think the one game that I really, really like, weather withstanding, is this Minnesota-Seattle game. Seattle on the road going there. You know, Gallardo, and there's a reason that there's 10.5 runs projected in this one. Gallardo and Mejia are not good pitchers. They're really not, and they both gave up a lot of action in the last time that they started in this series. This is kind of a flip-flop series. Remember, Minnesota-Seattle played earlier last week. Gallardo allowing a 330 wOBA to left-handed bats and a 369 to right-handers. Mejia allowing a 390 wOBA to left-handed bats and a 364 to right-handers. In his last start against the Twins, Gallardo gave up 5 runs in 5 innings with a 16% strikeout rate on the season. He's got a 10% walk rate, only a 7% swinging strike rate. So the Twins righties are certainly in play. Dozier, Sano, Grossman, don't forget Kennis Vargas, a switch hitter who just is a power home run guy. He is going to strike out or he's going to hit a home run. He's like the Joey Gallo of the North. Grossman, I think, is one of the interesting pieces for me as a DH here. He doesn't have a lot of power, okay? He's only got a 185 ISO, but he has a 370 wOBA, which is absolutely excellent. And he profiles well above league averages in against 3 of Gallardo's pitches. He's pretty average against the fastball. But the other 3 pitches, he's well above league average against. So I like Grossman kind of just as a fill-in guy. Although, you know, as a fill-in guy, he's going to cost you $3,300, I believe it is. $3,300 for Robbie Grossman. Let me see how much he is in this. $3,400. So, you know, that's quite a bit, but it's not the worst price that you could have. But I don't mind Robbie Grossman in this spot. And in fact, you know, I go to Robbie Grossman quite a bit just because I feel like he's a very solid cash game option. He's not going to get you a zero. And he's at the top of that lineup near Dozier and Sano. That's actually an interesting high-priced option, too, if you want. Those Twins are not cheap. Miguel Sano and Brian Dozier are not inexpensive. So certainly worth the spending if you have the money. The Mariners knocked in 2 home runs off Mejia in that last start that he had, but they only scored 3 total runs. So there's 2 solo shots there. Left-hand, right-handed bats, both in play. I think if Cano and Cruz play, I think you can get one of them or both of them. And then it's really just Corey Seager for me. That's pretty much it. He's really the only other guy that's really hitting. Valencia, maybe, but his numbers are pretty rough right now, and he's not doing much at all. He's cheap. He's a first baseman, but, first baseman power position, I'm not really that interested in. I like Seager because he fills that third base position. You know, he has power upside. He's $3,500, a very reasonable price. The numbers are rough on Heredia and Mater. Honestly, you must hope that Ben Gamel gets up there somewhere because he's just been hitting a lot better than a lot of these guys. So if Ben Gamel is in towards the top of this lineup, which he should be, just based on the splits, I mean, there's no reason not to start a lefty just because he's a, you know, just because Mejia is a lefty, to start a lefty at the top of the lineup. So I think it's certainly those 3, Cruz, Seager, Cano, and possibly Gamel, if he can get himself up into the top 5 there. He is interesting, I believe, at 3K. Okay, so if you're pivoting away from these guys, I think the one spot that I'm really interested in is the White Sox here, guys. They're getting Wade Miley at home. Miley just gets smoked by right-handed bats. It's the splits are there. It's very clear. Here's an interesting stat. Chicago White Sox have the highest team wOBA on the slate. the highest team WOBA on the slate. That is even with the fact that their team WOBA against right-handed pitching is one of the worst in baseball. And I'm trying to pull it up right now, and I can't. Because Fangraphs... There it is. Their team WOBA 2017 against right-handed pitching is currently 295. 295 against right-handed pitching. Their team WOBA against left-handed pitching. Oh, that's their BABIP. Oh, wait a second. Oh, yeah, 353. They have one of the... So they have the highest team WOBA versus that handedness. So 353 team WOBA versus right-handed pitching on the slate. It's just really impressive stuff, man. And versus Wade Miley. I just think he's not a high-quality enough pitcher for them to struggle with him, and these are really, really good bats against left-handed pitching. So it's really, there's really four guys that you want to get some exposure to, and it's Abreu, Frazier, Garcia, and Davidson. Abreu's numbers are just absolutely phenomenal right now against left-handed pitching. You know, Frazier profiles extremely well against these different pitch types. Avisel Garcia is cheap, $3,100 for a guy who, you know, earlier this year was just shelling home runs. Abreu has got a 480 WOBA and a 255 ISO right now. Avisel Garcia is a 474 WOBA right now. I'll be interested to see what the top of this lineup looks like. They've been dealing with some injuries. The only other guy that I have some interest in is possibly Willy Garcia. Melky's been okay. And Davidson has been okay as well. But I think Davidson is interesting just for the salary relief. But at 3-3 for Abreu, I mean, that's amazing. And you got the wind blowing out there in Chicago. So I really like this spot for the White Sox. The thing about Miley is that his secondary, he's a fastball slider pitcher. All four of those guys, Abreu, Frazier, Garcia, Davidson, smash the slider. You know, it's very interesting. You can tell what front offices are looking for as far as their hitting profile. You know, like the Mets, they all hit the changeup. They can't hit the slider. They can't hit anything that breaks. That's why we started Darvish against them. White Sox hit the slider extremely well. Extremely well. That is his K pitch. That's his swing and miss pitch. And he actually has a really, really, really good numbers on that pitch. I want to say it's like a 30% K rate on that pitch. If I remember, I was reading the Brooks baseball card on him. Brooks baseball, by the way, great, 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 great pitch data on pitchers to see how effective certain pitches are. If he can't use his K pitch against these guys because they're too dangerous against it, he's going to go back to what is a pretty mediocre fastball and a mediocre changeup. And those guys are all pretty solid against those pitches. They're not way above average like they are against the slider, but they're solid against them. Yes, he's a ground ball guy. That you don't love, but this is an offense that is in a great ballpark and really, really smashes lefties. I have no problem with the White Sox here. And, Vegas implying them for almost five runs tells you quite a bit. This isn't an offense that often gets that many runs in their corner. All right, that's it. A few notes that I want to mention because I think it would be foolish, or people may think it's silly to not talk about some of these other spots on this slate. Then they're in a really good spot. I think that the Nationals are just as appealing to me as the Red Sox. There's two things that I struggle with. Cost and faulty pitching much better in his last two starts. So Foltynewicz has had two excellent outings, and all of the Nationals that you want are almost 4K. If you can afford them, fine, I get it, but they're really, really expensive. I think I would be foolish not to mention the Mets lefties here against John Lackey. Lackey has really struggled. He has given up quite a few runs in a lot of his last couple starts. He has given up at least 4 hits in his last 5 starts. In 4 of those, he's given up 6 or more hits. He hasn't won a game. I'm sorry, he won a game in middle of May. He almost hasn't won a game in a month. If he doesn't win today, he will have not won a game in a month. And he has given up 8 home runs in his last 5 starts. Wow. Mets lefties are certainly in play here. Mets lefties in play against Lackey. No question in my mind, especially with that wind blowing out. Oh my gosh, the weather just got better too, by the way. They just updated the weather conditions. It's now 13 miles per hour out at Citi Field, 92 degrees, which actually, guys, and then thinking about DeGrom, that's worrisome. That's worrisome weather conditions. So you could certainly look at the Mets lefties, Conforto Cabrera, Jay Bruce, obviously, Neil Walker, Lucas. This is going to be a murderer's row for Lackey. The Mets lefty stack is certainly in play. This Rangers-Astros game is very interesting. I just think it's actually going to be pretty low scoring. There's 2 guys on the Astros who hit Darvish, and it's Springer and Correa. They do. They hit Darvish. They can see his stuff. They hit it, and they have great BVP in the last 2 seasons. So those 2 guys are interesting to me. In that game, but that's about it. And I think the Yankees could be in play here against Mayer. You know, we have to look for is the guys who can hit the curveball. And the man who can hit the curveball in the Yankees is Aaron Judge. So 4.8 for Aaron Judge. That's a lot for a guy who, you know, is on the road. But God, he can smash. He is in a really, really good position to smash Mayer here because he is very, very above average against the curve. I wonder if it has anything to do with his height. Like the ball, he can just see a curveball's motion because he just has a better angle on watching its break from like above the ball rather than staring at it almost at eye level. I wonder if that has anything to do with it. I don't know. But you know, I think, Aaron Hicks also in play. He's a very above average against the change ball and fastball. He's been inexpensive in the top of the order as well. So, you know, I mean, the Yankees are always interesting to me. They're always interesting. It's just not a great hitter's park. Compare that to, you know, to New Yankee Stadium where they put up 14 runs yesterday. You know, Angels is just not the best situation. It's not nearly as hot out there. It's only 70 degrees. There's this massive ballpark. So the Yankees have some interest, but not a ton. Not a ton for me. All right, let's jump over to FanDuel. Let's see if we can throw together a quick lineup for you guys as a starting place. You get a sense of how lineups, you know, and pricing comes together. Okay, so let's start with Strauss because there's really no reason not to start with Steven Strasburg. Okay, given the pricing on this slate, I think that Steven Strasburg certainly is in play. And I went to Steven Strasburg, and then I immediately went to Mitch Moreland. He's my favorite first baseman on the slate. I mean, I could absolutely see. I could absolutely see some of my lineups basically splitting between him and Abreu, but that's it, basically. It is Moreland and Abreu for me, not because I don't think that there's other players in play, like Kenneth Vargas and Lucas Duda, by the way, both 2,900. That's a really nice price for them. I think the reason is just that they're really well-priced. And they are in excellent matchups. You know, these two guys are going to be able to get a hold of the pitches that they're going to see today. So I'm going to start with Mitch Moreland. And that means that I'm going to add to this Red Sox stack with the pretty economical lefties. Benintendi at 2,800 is very easy to fit in, as is Jackie Bradley Jr. at 3,100. And I think you get some leverage with Jackie Bradley Jr. And I really hope these guys are 4, 5, 6. I really do. And there's a good chance. I mean, it depends on where Hanley is, but like Hanley hasn't been doing shit. I don't know why they'd put him right in there, but they might. They might. Which could bump Benintendi and Bradley down to 6, 7. But man, I would love it if Moreland and Benintendi and Bradley were 4, 5, 6. That would just be a boner. And then I needed a little bit of salary relief. So what do? I click over to the San Diego roster, and I'm immediately looking, you know, for those cheap guys that I talked about, Hedges and Perella, the 2,400 and 2,500. Boom. I don't care that they're not in correlation with each other. They're two of the best power pieces in this lineup. They're really cheap. I think a lot of people will go with Myers. I think a lot of people will go with Renfro. Renfro at 3,200 just feels like a lot to pay for a guy who may or may not strike out four times. So Hedges and Perella, they're cheap. Given the weather situation, given the fact that this could kind of be of a downer of a game, that's my exposure. I really like those two spots. They're inexpensive. Yeah, I could get burned by not having Renfro and Myers be the two guys who go deep. Absolutely. I'm completely aware of that. I just don't necessarily... I like Mitch Moreland right here at 3,500 quite a bit compared to Hunter Renfro. Then I had a third base. I have third base, shortstop, and an outfield position. Clicking on third base. Third base is a little thin. Unless you want to pay for Miguel Sano, who I certainly would love to pay for. You know, I was looking at Kyle Seager. He's in a decent spot, but the weather's not that great, and he's pretty expensive. And I thought about Solarte for sure. I did. I don't know. It's Todd Frazier. Todd Frazier profiles really well. He's 3,300. I know he's going to be batting cleanup. You know, this is a good spot for Frazier in the five hole, 3,300. And if I wanted to get a little correlation with Frazier, I know Avisel Garcia should be right above him at the four spot. So, boom. Frazier and Garcia, 33 and 3,100. And that left me with 2,900 for my shortstop. And I couldn't correlate him necessarily with any of the other stacks that I wanted to, so I just threw in Asdrubal Cabrera because I know he's going to be batting second or third against Lackey, and he's got legit power, and he's 2,900. I think that's a really good price for Asdrubal Cabrera. You know, you compare him to, like, Tim Anderson, like, not interested in a Tim Anderson at 3,100 versus Asdrubal Cabrera against John Lackey, like, give me Asdrubal Cabrera. That is one of my favorite price plays all day. I don't know how he continues to be that price, but I mean, you know, I guess he had a rough weekend in Atlanta. That's how he continues that price. He had a rough weekend in Atlanta, and he actually had a rough series in Texas, except for that homer. He's been pretty hot and cold. That's why his price is down. But I'll take it. I know Cabrera's got the stuff. I'll take it. And I like that price quite a bit. So, Strauss at the top, Austin Hedges at catcher, Mitch Moreland, Jose Perella, Todd Frazier, Asdrubal Cabrera, Benintendi, Jackie Bradley Jr., and Avisel Garcia. That is where I am at right here for this Monday slate. I'm looking at it right now, and I just decided, let me see what I can do here. Okay. This is going to be expensive, but really sexy. All right. So let's say, for example, that I wanted to go over to, let's say I wanted to plug in the Nationals stack. All right. Wow, this is okay. So if you guys want to understand what you can do, by the way, with getting Mike Pelfrey in here, which I know a lot of people are like, come on, man, Mike Pelfrey. Yeah, guys, I'm saying it. I'm going to say it. I'm going to be a little bit crazy here, but this is really interesting. I don't necessarily recommend you spend a ton of money on this lineup, but it certainly is interesting to me. Mike Pelfrey, Austin Hedges, Mitch Moreland, Daniel Murphy, Miguel Sano, Trey Turner, Andrew Benintendi, Jackie Bradley Jr., Bryce Harper. Three-man Boston, three-man Nationals with Miguel Sano at third base. Mike Pelfrey at the helm. That is it's a really interesting lineup, but that's why you would play Pelfrey, by the way, because you want to stack the Red Sox, you want to stack the Nationals, you want some high-priced one-offs, you know, like a Miguel Sano or an Aaron Judge or something like that. Do I recommend it? No, I recommend Strasburg, because reality is that Pelfrey is probably, his outcome is between somewhere between 25 and 30 points, okay? Where we know Strasburg at two times the price, literally about two times the price, 5.8 and 11.4, just about two times the price exactly, is probably has an outcome somewhere between 50 and 60 points. So you're paying twice the price, but you're probably going to get twice the production. The question is that what do the bats then offer you? And if what I'm seeing is I'm saying that Daniel Murphy, Trey Turner, and Bryce Harper are worth, and Miguel Sano are worth more than 30 points over Todd Frazier, Avisel Garcia, Jose Perella, and Asdrubal Cabrera. Now, could they be worth more than 30 points? Yeah, they could be. They certainly could be. That stack could be worth it. That stack could be worth 50, 60 points, in which case it would make sense possibly to go to that, okay? But I do think that the Todd Frazier, Avisel Garcia combination is probably in a really good spot tonight. You know, you add to that a young Perella who has a great matchup with Arroyo and Asdrubal Cabrera in a good matchup there as well. I just think that that's probably, you're probably not going to get a massive differential there. And Pelfrey could get shelled, right? His range of outcomes is a lot wider than Strasburg. So, I don't know. I like Strasburg. You guys know that. I think that he is an easy lock, but you got to find some ways to differentiate. So I don't mind you taking some risks if you are being very responsible about it. All right, that is it for me. Good luck in your contest tonight, guys. Patreon.com/lineuplogic. Hit me up on Twitter. Hey, Mr. Kane. And we will see you tomorrow.